Hello there, you're listening to the Watson's Daily Podcast with me, Peter Watson, on Friday the 20th of January. Today I'm joined for the last time this week by Yasmeen Hosseini, who is a Watson's Daily Ambassador. Hi there Yasmeen, how are you doing today?
I'm good, Peter. How are you?
Yeah, very well, thank you. End of the week, all looking good. Another couple of really interesting topics today. Mm-hmm. What have you got for the audience?
Honestly, it's just been such an interesting week today, and today is going to be a very techie podcast as mm-hmm. well.
Yep.
So I will be talking about the layoffs in the tech industry.
Yep.
So to preface, firstly, Microsoft yesterday announced it is cutting 10,000 jobs by March. Mm. And since September, I think we'll be hearing so many numbers from so many companies floating. So Amazon, 18,000 people since November, mm-hmm. Meta, 11,000. There's even a site called layoffs.fyi, if you just want to play mm. around with it, that mm. just keeps track of the layoffs. So I think there's 38,000 in tech.
That's a lot, isn't it? That's a lot. Yeah. That is.
But yeah. It is really interesting stats. Like, it just breaks it down by sectors, by company and stuff. So if you just want to fidget around, because that's what I do all day. So this sounds like it should kind of be ringing alarm bells, right? So yeah. Are we seeing a prolonged economic downturn in those areas? Mm-hmm. However, it doesn't seem like it. So this is because the tech workforce has inflated a lot and very fast over the past 2 years because of the pandemic.
Yep.
So those reductions, as much as those figures seems astonishing, they represent actually only a fraction of those newly enlarged teams. So take Amazon. I mean, their cuts are one of the largest recording by the tech industry, 18,000 people. But 18,000 people for Amazon is 5% of their workforce. And this is just corporate. So if you're talking about warehouses, everything, they employ more than 1 million person. So really, this is a fraction. Microsoft, I mean, their workforce now after the cuts are still larger than it was at the end of 2021. So nevertheless, those cuts show the pressure that tech companies are under to improve their margins because they've been overly optimistic. They hired a lot and now they're slowing growth. Okay. And also, speaking of those layoffs, I wanted to address a angle that we haven't really explored or heard of regarding this, those like job cuts.
Yep.
And this is that those social media job cuts do risk a surge of online terrorism content.
Mm-hmm.
So there is an organization called Tech Against Terrorism, which is a public-private partnership between some governments, I think the UK, US, Spanish government, and just big tech companies, the household names, Meta, Google, Microsoft, Twitter. And basically, this organization, it has sent out a report saying that there's terrorist actors that have increased operations on Twitter because staff were that are tasked with monitoring this content were sacked. And also, just in general, like, we're seeing the rise of small websites that host and share terrorist content.
Mm.
They are widely available and they're left online for long periods.
Mm.
And this is because there's a lack of global consensus on takedowns, whose jurisdiction it is, who like has really, the authority to get it. There's under-resourced law enforcement. So this is all quite worrying. And a lot of the experts that adapt those filters and those safety kind of like filters are being sacked or that left the industry. So it is really a big problem. So what do you think about how we're going to be countering this?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, so first of all, it is interesting and a very valid point what you say about the fact that, yes, that is a lot of actual people who are losing their jobs at the moment. But as you say, it's a small percentage of the whole, and they did ramp up hiring over the last year or so, hugely. So yes, it is bad, but in the scheme of things, it's not quite as bad as it looks.
Mm.
In terms of how do you safeguard people on the internet and stop this illegal or harmful content going on? I think really, this is where a good a good use of AI would be coming in. Because one of the things I've often thought is that it must be an awful job to be a moderator, a content moderator at any of these social media places, because literally all day you are looking at the worst and most horrendous content. And it must be harrowing to see this stuff. So, I mean, I think that AI would be a very good way because, of course, AI could look at it without getting emotionally involved, affected, or anything like that. But you said that there was something that was very good, very interesting on this, didn't you?
Yes, exactly. So if anyone finds this topic interesting, I recommend watching a movie called The Cleaners. It is in German, but you'll have subtitles. It's basically big tech companies allegedly, in between quotation, outsourcing this kind of content moderation to East Asia, especially the Philippines, and having like huge hubs and paying, people a salary that seems mediocre in our Western standards, but for them is a lot of money. And just basically making them sit for, up to 10 hours a day in front of a computer, and everything that has been flagged or reported or seen as abusive, and based on like the guidelines of each, are going to be filtered within a yes or no, and they have a couple of seconds to decide. So imagine what kind of things are they seeing on this. Imagine. I don't even want to say those words on this podcast, but seriously, it's like very, very, very graphic stuff that shouldn't be on there in the first place, but who's going to decide? It is them. So I think really AI should come into place in detecting, for example, if you see like graphics like fire, graphics like a lot of shouting, and I know that content moderation is quite good for very like known languages, sorry, more spoken languages, and Arabic because of counterterrorism, unfortunately. But a lot of different languages are not as moderated, so therefore keywords that would be flagged are not, are just not, because of a decrease in kind of like the attention for different languages. So I think it needs to ramp up in this, and I think it needs to go towards AI. So beautiful movie, I recommend it, The Cleaners.
Yeah, I mean, it
Not
does sound
sponsored.
good. Sounds good. So I mean, it does sound really good, and these things, it is a terrible thing. But anyway, I'd say my conclusion on that is that okay, if there are fewer actual human moderators, this is where AI would be a very this would be a very good use of AI, so that it would minimize the number of people that you will expose to very distressing content. So
Do you think we're going to be seeing a increased job cuts in this area as well?
Well, it depends. I mean, obviously, if they did use AI, and if AI is usable in this, and I would say that you'd have to use it in conjunction with humans, then yes, there will be, there will be there will be more cuts. And actually, again, that again brings out the tricky thing whereby if you are, let's say you work as a content moderator, the boss comes in and says, right, we're going to be doing AI now. I want you to check that the AI is getting it right. How incentivized are you going to feel? Because you're going to be thinking, well, that's going to take my job, so I'm not really going to be that helpful, because I quite like getting a lot of money, or my relative. So, but then again, I yeah. So it's very difficult. But I think they have to run in parallel first, and then it has to go fully automated. It's a bit like, I mean, I thought this is a bit like with Uber, right? So I know Uber's not doing the self-drive. I think they've ditched the self-driving thing. But I did think how horribly ironic it was that, Uber was grown on the back of taxi drivers who got them to where, the valuations, and got them to where they were. And yet, at the same time, that same company that grew on the back of their efforts was in the background trying to make self-driving taxis, so that all the people that helped it to get where it was would be sacked. So it's the same kind of thing here. It's like you're kind of helping, you would be helping AI, so that you wouldn't have a job in the future. But then
Yeah.
again,
I mean,
is that a bad thing in this
it's a
case?
tale as old as time, you know, like any, you know, everyone that was working in chain, what's it called? Those in the chain industry when just like all you have to do was take a part and put it somewhere else. Now
Oh,
it's
yeah, that's right,
automated. Yeah,
yeah.
exactly. So this is a normal, but I think we're seeing very interesting stuff happening, and it's going to be more about who is going to put those guidelines to feed the AI, who's going to monitor the AI instead of who's going to do what the AI is actually doing. But yeah, so what are the we talked about some downsides and upsides of AI, and I think you're going to be talking about a different angle of this.
Absolutely. So, my sort of story that I'm talking about today was from the Telegraph, and it was all about artists being, really getting very vocal and angry about the use of AI and ChatGPT because of the fact that they feel that that copyrights are going to be breached. And I just think that this is quite interesting because you're like, who owns the songs? Who owns the images? What about the end content that comes up? Because AI does not exist on its own. You can't just have AI in isolation and then hope it learns things. It has to, either you have to feed stuff into it or it has to go and search for it. And as a result, it's using real content. So, for instance, I mean, if you are a songwriter or something, and you've written a song ages ago, and you find that some another artist comes along later and says, "Hey, that sounds just like my song." With AI, I suspect that what you could potentially do is you could go in and you could look at what the software searched for in order to come up with that end product. And if that was the case, you can say, like the lawyers that are acting for the complainants in this instance would say, "Well, there we go. That song's in there, therefore that must mean." Whereas, say, for instance, I would say someone like Ed Sheeran, who's often taken to court because people say, "Oh, you had this massive hit and I thought about it ages ago." You can't, it's much more difficult to prove because all of that is in Ed Sheeran's head, and only Ed Sheeran truly knows. But even he doesn't necessarily know because, by the way, we're not sponsored by Ed Sheeran. Don't know Ed Sheeran. I'm not acting for him. But you kind of think that someone like him will be, will have listened, loves music, listens to it all the time. And you sometimes it's just like, well, you can't help but be, copy, so-called copy something. It's gone into your subconscious and it comes out and it just so happens to sound like, rather than going, "Oh, I like that song. I think I'm going to rip it off." I personally, I would like to think that he doesn't think like that. But but with AI, sort of going back to it, I think that this is going to affect the creative industry. I think that there is going to be some threat in certain areas. But ultimately, it will. I think this is going to be a huge money spinner for lawyers in particular, because they'll be able to, that this will provide another avenue for them to look at, because it'll be very contentious, I'm sure. So yeah, but what I mean, what do you, I mean, you did something really cool while we were talking about this earlier, just to illustrate a point, didn't you? What did you do? T tell everyone what you did.
I asked ChatGPT actually to write me a hip hop song, and that was my instruction to them. And honestly, I'm gonna give you some lyrics, and you're gonna tell me kind of how it sounds like. So this is verse two. Stars shining bright, cities aglow, never felt so alive. Who needs to sleep? Let's put on our dancing shoes and go. We'll make memories that we'll always keep. Also, it rhymes. Because I just want to dance all night long with you, oh baby. We'll make the world our own little song because you and I, we're going to be okay. Like,
That's
this
amazing.
is a Dua Lipa song. Like, this is, you know, anything that you listen on the charts and you listen on TikTok, this is like kind of the content. So, and this is like something that is unique, like in the face of law is unique. So, but then if I put a melody on him and I sing it, then an artist can be like, wait a minute, like that's kind of my rhymes, or that's kind of my rhythm. What's going on? And then this is where it's going to be like reverse engineering thing. We're going to be like, okay, well, what material did you use to find this? And like I said, if the song or the artist is going to be like, we were inspired by this kind of th this thing, this is a further proof. So I think yes, AI is going to help a lot in terms of artists generating massive music, massive, like no one needs to be like, oh, I'm in a rut, like I don't have much inspiration. You can find inspiration on this, tweak something, and
That's
here you
a
go.
very good point. So basically, what you're saying then is, if you have like writer's block, what you could do is you could just then go to, God, I'd never thought of that.
Yeah, like
So you could,
honestly, for example, I want to write a heartbreak song. Now I'm not gonna put that on the chat GPT, but yeah, I want to do that. I'm sad. I want to talk about this thing. It'll just give you some material. You're just like, oh, this rhyme I didn't think about, and incorporate it in your thing, but just it still can be original. So I think it can be just as a tool, but at the same time, it can it because it's AI, it will exactly pinpoint where it took it from. So you can't really hide behind the, oh, this is original. Like AI is like it's there's no plagiarism. It's original, but it is not ultimately, and that's not how copyright law works. But so interesting. I am very excited to see this kind of new litigation.
I think this is going to be, we're going to see loads of this. I mean, we talked about this the other day, right? But this, I just absolutely fascinating. But anyway, I think we might as well end on that note, end on a high, and say, look, thank you very much indeed, for your thoughts and your insight, Yasmin, this week. It's been really great, to talk to you on this,
Thank you.
and also, great to hear to be here at the beginning of your sort of burgeoning pop career. I mean, that's it's a privilege. I mean, like, we're sitting.
All I have to do is sit on a piano and
Yeah,
that's it.
exactly.
Like you're gonna hear me next month.
Exactly.
Charts.
Like, Yasmin, like, a star is born, right? A star is born. So we were here. Everyone listening to the podcast, you were here. You've heard that this is the beginning. This is just the beginning.
This is
So
copyrighted material, by the way. This no one can touch what I just said.
Brilliant. So yeah, so cool. So thank you very much indeed. Thank you very much for listeners for listening. If you like this podcast, please say nice things and give us 5-star ratings. That would be great. Always helps, and and all that. So thank you very much. Have a great day, weekend, whatever it is you're up to. And or if you're walking while you're listening to this, because that's what a lot of people do. I hope you're having a lovely walk and seeing beautiful things. Anyway, thank you
So
very much
inclusive.
indeed.
Okay, thank you.
Have a great day. See you next week. Many thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.